Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. We're going to part 9 of our series in the Watchman on the Wall concerning the Sabbath. We're going to watch tonight for the new moon. We're going to talk a little bit about that and bring you into the conditions that is set by biblical reasoning through the Scriptures. Nothing has changed. Modern times have changed. We're not on the system, ladies and gentlemen, of timekeeping that was orchestrated or illustrated or commanded by our Heavenly Father. Now, what was commanded then is now not a continued practice. They have changed times and laws. We're going to teach you about it just as soon as we come back with our introduction of riding. We'll be right back. Yahweh bless you.
Let me, will you ride? Go with me. Will you ride with me? We say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, got a great program for you. As I said, we're going to make a few announcements before we get into the significance of the new moon and how it would affect you in today's society. It doesn't really affect anyone today because it is no longer a used practice by the world system. Now, the world system is not Yahweh's system. His ways are not the world's ways. As heaven is higher than the earth, so are the world's ways opposite of Yahweh's ways. Now, the question is, what system are you going to appear under when you appear before Yahweh? Well, naturally, it's the one that you practiced. And whatever you have done in your body, the deeds will be looked at. The books will be open. Now listen to me. Here's where the significance of where the rubber meets the road. The books will be opened and you will be judged out of not the world system, not what seems right, not what man has invented, not what man has changed to, but what the Bible says. We're going to get into that just after our announcements here. And we got great news for you, for those of you who are going to attend the festival beginning on the night of the 21st. That's when we open the new Kingsgate Inn. Officially, it will open on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. That's when it's going to open. Of course, it'll be open before that, but officially when we get the service started, we'll be around 8 o'clock on a Thursday night on the 21st of October. We're going to start our tabernacles. It will go for 8 days. It will end on the 28th. That's the seventh day. And then on Friday, it will be the great eighth day, when we will end Tabernacles. We want you to be there. We want you to be a part of the new Christianing, if you will, of the property. We want you to feel a part of it. We want you to feel like it's your home, away from home. And we know that we won't have any conference, creature conference, that is. We don't have a great inn built there. Well, hopefully we will. We'll have a day of Pentecost when they all came together, sold the possessions. Well, this has happened since our Pentecost. We have been on a really an incredible fundraising. Just looking back on it, I'm amazed at how much funds that we were able to raise in such a short time when we really got serious about it and started making appeals to you. Now, to you that give, to you that supported, to you that are regular tithe payers, we apologize because we haven't got the mailing out that we wanted to. I'm just a one-man gang here, and so I'm way behind, but I've got all the letters. I will bring them to the King's Gate Inn on the night of the 21st. I will recognize these mailings. I'll have them in a bundle, and we will offer them to Yahweh as we burn the note to the property. We don't owe one dime on the property, thanks to beautiful people like yourself that we're acknowledging tonight and giving you honor. The Bible said, give honor to whom honor's due. So we just really thank you for doing that for us. And we hope and pray and trust that Yahweh would give you a special blessing that you could come. Now, we're expecting people from California. We're expecting people from Arkansas. We're expecting people from Michigan, people from Missouri, people from Kentucky, people from Ohio, expecting people from Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, Virginia. We're expecting Kansas people are coming. It's a beautiful gathering of just a precious few. There's not going to be a many, but there's going to be a few. And last year we had almost 100 people at the festival at one time or another. Matter of fact, we were so thrilled because people dared the elements. I just think it's something was going on from the evil ones. They knew that we were meeting, and I never seen it rain like this. It hasn't rained since. And either we made the devil mad or Yahweh just smiled on us enough and we give him all the glory anyway because we're going to be there rain or shine. I mean, there's some people that, you know, if the devil dishes it out, they're able to take it, but they're able also to dish it right back. So that's wonderful. Now, first announcement, I'd like to get this out to you. If you are planning to attend the Tabernacle Festival on the night of the 21st, that's on a Thursday. Now, if you can get there any time that weekend, that's fine. Or if you want to attend the latter part of it, that's fine. We'll be waiting on you. There's people coming from Illinois, people coming from as far away probably as, like I say, California. And we're having people to fly in. And that's wonderful. Now, there's hotels. Again, there is hotels located right near the feast site. They're within 4 miles of the feast site. And we're thankful that people are coming and are planning on staying at the motels in the area. And if you'd like to camp out at the King's Gate Inn, you're more than welcome to do so, as we expect a large group of people to do that. And so if you want to save some money and you can stand, now the elements are getting a little bit cold, here's a number for you. It's the Quality Inn, Let me, if you'd like to get rates here at the Quality Inn, 4 miles from the campsite, 423-337-4900, the Sweetwater exit 60. This is the Quality Inn, brand new motel. And we have the Hilltop Hotel, also on exit 60. And the phone number there at the Hilltop is 423-337-3511. Again now, 423-337-3511. The rates go anywhere from to a single $189 for 7 days up to $245.99 for a couple. And I think the rates go up if you've got $10 per person, something like that. It's reasonable. And so there's plenty of places for you to stay. Of course, there's other places. Knoxville is only 45 miles from where we're at. Chattanooga is only 50 miles. Sweetwater, Tennessee is only 7 miles. And Athens, Tennessee is only 15 miles. So major cities around that you could see the area. The leaves, ladies and gentlemen, at this time of year is going to be incredible. The turning is already happening. The colors coming in. There are going to be literally thousands of people that tour the Smokies, both on the North Carolina side and the Tennessee side. It's going to be packed with people that are looking at the leaves. You won't believe it. The people are that like to look at the beauty of the leaves this time of year. Also, we are planning, Brother Jonathan has put this together with one of our brothers that is going to come up from Atlanta, Georgia. Now, he is a gun permit instructor, and he is qualified to qualify you with teaching you a class. It's about a 4-hour class, and this will happen on the first Saturday. Now, that's going to be on the 23rd. Mark it on your calendar that the gun class that the brother from Georgia is going, Atlanta, Georgia, is going to be teaching. This is to get you a gun permit. If you'd like to have a gun permit without shooting a gun, without going through a lot of red tape, without being high pressured or nervous about being around a strange environment, you don't have to drive to the city of Atlanta. You don't have to fight the traffic. He's coming. If we can get as many as 10 people, applicants, that are going to file, it costs you $100 for this permit. Now, this permit covers over 35 states. That means it's the Utah permit. He's qualified to issue from the state of Utah a permit, a license to carry. Now, I have the Tennessee permit myself. And I'm only, I think it's only about 7 or 8 states, maybe a few more, I'm not sure. But I'm talking about in the local vicinity, North Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, I think Florida, Virginia, and maybe Kentucky. I think it's legal. But this one is amazing. It's 4 or 5 times the amount of states that my Tennessee permit covers. And my permit cost me around $200 to obtain, plus the fact you have to go through a lot of red tape, and I did have to go and qualify with my arms. And this one, you don't have to. If you'd like to shoot, I think you can. We have a shooting place there on the assembly site. That's an excellent site. We have never used it, but we've got it there, and it's permissible, but I don't even believe you have to do that. If you think that you need a gun permit, and a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen, there's more gun permits been written in the last 2 years than any time in recorded history. Something's going on. Somebody It feels like they need a gun permit. And, or a lot of people that don't have them have got them. And, but if you'd like to have a gun permit and to be legal and carry, we've noted of instances where, and it's been on national news, where people were caught in a restaurant without their guns. And in Tennessee, that law changed just this year. You can carry in restaurants in Tennessee, and you can go in bars as long as you don't drink. You can carry in a bar. So, I have no business being in a bar, but you never know when you're going to need one, so don't leave home without it. That's my motto. So, if you feel like you need a gun permit and you would like to participate, bring you an extra $100, and I believe that's the that's the entire charge. It may be a little more or less, I don't know. But I do know that it's going to be somewhere around $100 if you'd like to have the gun permit. And we'll see that you get it, providing our instructor makes it up from Atlanta, Georgia. And we're hoping, well, I think we've already got over 10 that's requested to sign up. And if that's the case, we're sure that he's going to be there. What we want to make sure is on behalf of those who have asked for the permits, that you get it. We want to take special notice of you and your needs. If you need a gun permit and it's going to be legal for you to carry and protect your family or yourself or others if need be. Now, I've had my gun permit for a while and I wouldn't leave home without my gun. And I wouldn't advise you to in this day and time. Not that you want to go around and killing somebody. I have not fired a gun. I don't know in how long. It's been quite a while even since I fired a gun. But if I have to, I know how. I haven't forgot. It's like riding a bicycle. So, become prepared to let you know in advance that if you would like to qualify for a gun permit that covers over 30 states, which is one of the best gun permits. I've checked it out online. Jonathan and I have talked about it, and he wanted his gun permit, so instead of going to Atlanta, Georgia to obtain this or going up to Utah, he was put in touch with an instructor from Atlanta, Georgia, who is qualified to give the classes. So come expecting, if you'd like. Now, if you don't, services will go on. These activities are going to be planned when they're convenient for him and for the ones that would like to have the gun permit. Other activities will be going on. Bring your children. We got a place for them to play and to exercise and to run. The property is fenced and it's well protected. It's entirely fenced. It's amazing how good a fence it's got. It's got an electric fence inside the system, and it's fully charged. And we hope and pray and trust that you will come in a family atmosphere. We don't allow drinking and cursing and swearing and doing those things, you know, and acting out. It's all right to take a drink, but just don't get out of hand. We don't permit that. My little granddaughter's going to be there, and she's 7 years old. And other children are going to come. There's going to be quite a few children there. So respect the little children and don't behave yourself unseemly. You'll be called into an account by the Heavenly Father if you behave yourself unseemly. So remember those announcements. Now, again, we're going to commence on the 21st of October. It's getting close. Now, let me tell you that we're going to be able, Yahweh willing, everything is going to, we've got the contracts already signed to take possession on this coming Wednesday. Praise Yahweh. It's on the 13th. We thought that was very fitting. There's 13 tribes. And, of course, 3 and 1 is 4, and that's the rest day, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Praise Yahweh. And so then, on Wednesday, we will have possession, full possession. The property is completely paid for. Now, we do need other offerings and givings for people that would like to contribute to an assembly, a place to sit in comfort, maybe air conditioning or warmth for the cold weather, or you know, for you that endured with us for the tent, we met in the tent. We're going to be in it again, if Yahweh willing. It was real cold and damp and wet, and but anyway, we endured it. Praise Yahweh. Like I say, we hope one of these days to have a place, a very nice place, an assembly hall, and you'll always be welcome there. If you'd like to come down and visit a couple of days, even when the festival is not going on, if you'd like to set in with some of the messages with Pastor Buddy, and I'll be doing all my radio shows there, Yahweh willing, if you'd like to come in and sit down and do watch me or listen to me perform the radio shows live right there at the Kingsgate Inn, you'd be more than welcome to do so. Now, it's interesting that many significant events recorded in the Old Testament have occurred on the first day of the lunar month. And I just took note of that, and I just thought it would be fitting for you to study with me tonight about the times and the dates. For instance, if we go to one of the most significant times was the Great Flood. Now, when the people waxed evil and they got wicked, it repented Yahweh that he ever made man. It was the wickedness of man. Now, Noah was instructed to bring about a deliverance for Yahweh's people. Now, there were only 8 souls saved. Everybody thinks that they were only 8 souls on the planet. Now, it don't say that. The flood was not a worldwide event. It's taken and accepted in the Christian church that it covered the whole earth. It did not. It only covered the region of the Tyrian Basin where that Noah and his descendants from Adam were multiplying. They had gone evil and they had joined the world. And they had waxed evil and Yahweh destroyed them. The Bible said those that were disobedient. Now disobedient about what? The law is only given. It's not given to the world. It's given only to a specific group of people. It's calculated, if we use the calculation process of the Bible, and we use the addition and the subtracting, using the dates in Genesis 7 and 8, we can easily find that Genesis 8:13 reveals that Noah was born on the new moon, or the first day of the first sacred month of the year. It was a new moon. That's interesting, isn't it? Noah was a new moon baby. Genesis 7:11 shows that the flood began 17 days after his 600th birthday. And on his 601st birthday, the waters dried up. 601st birthday. Now, that means that 17 days after the new moon and Noah's birthday, which was on a new moon, Yahweh brought the flood. Now, what is 17 significant of? Well, there happens to be in the building of an altar, a sacred number. And that sacred number is 17 stones are required to erect a bona fide legal altar designed by Yahweh. Now that's 12 stones in the circle. That is 4 stones in the center, representing the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, or the Ark of the Covenant, and the measurements. And then the stone for the 13th one outside, that's Dan, who dwelled in international, if you will, in a neutral zone as the judge. And then you have your stones for your farm. I'd say 17 stones, and 7 and 1 is 8. Noah was the 8th soul that was saved, and 8 symbolizes the new beginning. Although the great flood did not begin or end on a new moon, it's very significant that the one that Yahweh used to save humanity was born on a new moon. I thought that was very, very fitting that Yahweh would use Noah. And the book of Jasher says that Noah was so frightening with his striking beauty, he was completely white-headed when he was born. His hair was solid white. Can you think about, and of course that represents to me purity, and if you have gray hair, don't be ashamed of it. The Bible says that the hoary head, the word hoary for Hebrew is gray that we use in the English. And so the white hair that the book of Jasher tells about that Noah had, he was so strange as a baby. He stood out. He was a new moon baby. Yahweh used Noah, a like figure, that was a very strange individual. He was found in the bulrushes floating on an ark. Now, the Bible says, let me give you something real interesting, and if you have ever heard me preach on the series of reincarnation, you know that Noah had to be a strange individual, that he come as a strange being. Well, we know that Enoch had to be a strange being, a unusual being, I'm saying, and we know that Moses was an unusual being. And when he ascended into heaven, it made it clear that no one had ascended into heaven except he came down from heaven. These men, these great men, were symbolic, and the significance of it is that Yahweh told Moses to set up the tabernacle on the day of the first day of the month. And that was the first month. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 1 and 2, he told Moses, and he did it on the first day of the first month, or the first moon, or the first moed, of the second year after the Israelites left Egypt, in Exodus chapter 40, verses 16 through 18. So, again, the new moon proved very significant, and it wasn't by chance that the new moon was chosen to do that. The new moon, I have found through my studies, is basically a time that Yahweh uses that for His work. Blow the trumpet on the new moon. It was significant that because of the lack of telephones or NASA or instant television or whatever, that they had watchmen on the wall. And our series is all about the duty of the watchman. When they watch for the new moon, and they were the Issachar tribe, were chosen specifically. Yahweh blessed, I don't know why, He blessed the sons of Issachar. And I've noticed the Issacharians, they are good with figures. And they take to it just like a duck taking to water. Where other people show no interest in figures, I've noticed that the sons of Issachar and the daughters of Issachar, they're very thrilled or excited about the heavens. They like to look through telescopes. They like to study the stars. They like to do the math and things of this nature. And the presence, here's why, the presence, it says here, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 2, that the presence of Yahweh rested on the tabernacle on the first day of the month. Very, very special time for Yahweh. On the first day, that's a new moon, blow the trumpet, a shouting, Well, in Tabernacles, the significance of the shouting, which is on the 8th, which, ladies and gentlemen, was yesterday, we had the Day of Shouting. It was a very, very significant day when we are to announce that it's the seventh month. And remember, in the 13th, it's an overlap of a month, and we have that significance built into our message tonight that we're going to take possession on the 13th, which is a number that we're very pleased with. There were 13 tribes, and these 13 tribes were only chosen by Yahweh to receive the instruction. See, it's the Yahweh people that live to attend the festivals. It is Yahweh people that labor and prepare and to save for it. And to, I just talked to a brother today. He actually put in for his vacation on the time of Tabernacles. Instead of going to Disney World or to the world or to do other things, he put in to attend the Tabernacles. Now, he's going to be a worker. He's going to put up the tent. He's going to help put up the tent. And he wants to help. They're going to get out and gather the stones that we need for the altar, and we got other people searching. But these things, this is a joy. These people are special. These people are devoted and dedicated to the Day of Shouting on the new moon, which was yesterday. I don't know where it passed without your noticing, but it was on the new moon that the Day of Shouting began to tell us that this coming Sabbath, which will be on the 15th of the month, will prepare us, and there will be only 1 week from that day with the Day of Atonement laced in between, where we'll have what is known as the Day of Atonement. That's on the 17th. Now, that will be on a Sunday. So fast on the 17th, if you can, at least push your plate back and think about Yahweh. Now, think about what He done for you. There's health in this, ladies and gentlemen. There's joy in it. There's peace. No wonder that we live in a troubled world. No wonder that we live in a time of trouble such as never was since the beginning. And it's because we've left off this great work. I mean, people are taking off to spend their vacation to work and love it, every minute of it, a joy to bring their families to spend and to donate and to pay for their rooms and their food and things of this nature. And love every minute of it. The joy of sitting down with a brother. I've done it for years. And I have never grown tired of it. I long for it. Paul, in his message, he said, I long. I must be at this coming feast. It was wonderful. And so, that's to an Israelite. Now, to other people, it don't mean a thing. Maybe Thanksgiving means something. Maybe Easter means something. Maybe Christmas means something. Because the devil has come on and gave instructions and changed times through tradition and took us out of the mode of worship, and especially on noting the new moon. Very few people realized yesterday was a new moon. A day of shouting. Shouting about what? Prepare. It's a special time. I look back on this special baby that was born named Noah, and how that the book of Jasher describes his unique beauty. He was a very unusual person. It's awesome. Now, notice this. Yahweh gave special instructions that they were to be special offerings and sacrifices to be made on the beginning of each new moon. Numbers chapter 28, verse 11 through 15. There were special offerings, special now, not any time other than what he said, on the new moon, they were special times. Those times have passed and gone. Nobody observes it anymore. It's not on your calendar, unless you've got one of the fisherman calendar. And by the way, it's something, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil has taken out of our times and appointments and given it to maybe the agricultural people. I've got a little poem that I might cite for you right here. I do believe that being raised on a farm back in the 40s, I do remember my dad planted by the moon. My mother swore by it. My dad, not as much, but my mother, she had one of the greatest gardens that, as a boy, he yielded. It was incredible. She always, without exception, planted by the moon. Notice this little poem that's written for the farmers. Go plant the bean when the moon is light, and you'll find that this is right. Plant the potatoes when the moon is dark, and to this line you'll always hark. But if you vary from this rule, you'll find out your harvest has made you look like a fool. If you always follow this rule to the end, you will always have money and fruits and vegetables in the end. That's the little poem that was prevalent back in the old timey days. They would cite that little poem for you. And it's posted now as a reminder of the old ways by the people that buy the Farmer's Almanac. And I hope that you're one of them. I know that I keep a copy of the Farmer's Almanac. Not that I'm a farmer, but I do like to keep it because I was taught as a boy to observe these times. Smart people back then would always observe the lunar time. I hope that you're smart enough today to observe yourself the significance of the new moon in starting your count. Now, here's the covenant. There always has to be a covenant. Notice this. On the first day of the 11th month, and in the 40th year of their punishment, Moses assembled the people, and again, after 40 years, he come back after their wondering, their murmuring, their complaining, their disobedience. He chose a special day. Notice this. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 3, he went over with the people the covenant with Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 1. On the new moon, he gave them again the renewed covenant. Now, it was to a different people. Remember, all those that wandered for 40 years in the wilderness died in the wilderness. Those who were faithful, those who loved Yahweh, those who remembered His covenants, those who kept His times and seasons, His moeds, and His special appointments, they were there when Moses asked for people to rear up the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40. They were there for him when he gave out the command for them to remember the new moon and to blow the shofar and to tell people it's time to gather. It's time to donate some charity to Yahweh. We got some brothers that's going to come and donate charity time before the festival. Like putting up the tent, like drawing up plans for our future, getting the site ready. We got so much work to do and so little time to get it done in. And ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate those who are there, just like the children of Israel. They were there on the first day of the second month of the second year after Israel came out of Egypt, where Moses told them to take a census, in other words, to count the people on a new moon. And that was in Numbers 1 through 18. They conducted a census on the new moon. That was the count date. That was the time for Israel to appear, not to worship, but to present their bodies in a civil manner, or as a charitable manner, to rear up the tabernacle, to do the work of Yahweh. That's when Yahweh wants you to come and do a little charity work for Him. He would bless you going in and bless you coming out. He would make your baskets plentiful by observing these times. And these offerings and sacrifices, when Yahweh told them to set up the tabernacle on the first day of the first month, and Moses gave them the first day of the first month of the second year, and they obeyed him. That's the people now that had survived the 40 years of wandering. Only those who were faithful and observed the time of the new moons and the Sabbaths and didn't murmur and didn't complain, they're the ones whose clothes did not soil. I don't know how they kept them clean. I don't know what kind of special tie they had. It might have been Fuller soap. But it kept their clothes clean and their shoes never, after 40 years. You talk about good shoes. These shoes are made for walking, as the song says. And they're made to obey Yahweh's. The people that stood in them shoes are the people that love Yahweh and kept His Sabbaths and His new moons. Well, today we don't do this. Now, notice then, on the Feast of Trumpets, it's always, now I'm going to repeat this, always to be observed on a new moon day. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, it says, start your count, today is the seventh month, start your count, Numbers 29 and 1, start your count on the beginning of the new month, and the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel recorded that special offering and worshiping still in their days would be done on the new moon, and they also prophesied, this is where I want you to see this point I'm trying to make, that even after the return of Christ, the prophecies of these special times of worship and special offerings are going to be invoked after He returns. I've told you that throughout this series of the Watchman. In Isaiah 66:22-23, there's going to be an observance of the new moon. You may not like it. It may change your habits. I don't know that it'll change your habits, because you'll be like the people in the wilderness that fail in the wilderness. Their carcasses fail. They did not enter into His rest. They will not, and you won't either, unless you come on board. There is literally thousands and thousands of people turning to the Lunar Covenant, the New Moon observance, and the Sabbaths measured by the moon. Thousands of people around the world are now turning to this new the covenant that Yahweh renewed with them on the first day of the first month after they left Egypt in Exodus chapter 40, 16 through 18. Now, on the first day, they took the census, they counted the people. Think about this. What if you didn't show up on most of you didn't even know that there was a new moon yesterday. You could care less. Well, in the day to come, in the presence of what Yahweh told you, you're going to know in Ezekiel 45, read it, 17 through 18, in the new millennial, again, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, Isaiah 66 and Ezekiel 45, will tell you that when He returns, this is going to be invoked. It's going to be a renewed covenant. You will stand at attention then. That's when Joshua rose up. That's when Caleb. That's when the two spies that kept the faith, that didn't faint and go with the world, we're so hung up in the pagan ways of the world, and we're so slow. Oh, that moon foolishness. You know, it never was right. You're questioning your Creator. On the first day of each month, Yahweh said, blow the shofar. And that's why I blow the shofar on the Watchman series. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a time when Yahweh has chosen you to meet with Him. And the first day of the month is instruction. It's an instruction time. They took a census. Noah was born on the new moon. I think it's very significant, as I've said. And notice this. Notice, when Yahweh is going to give you the blessings and give you, I want to blow the shofar for you. It had a wonderful sound. Wouldn't you be thankful when you heard that shofar? It's going to blow again. It's going to blow according to Isaiah 66 and Ezekiel 14 in the new millennium. Are you going to be there? No, you probably won't even show up. You'll be those that the ashes that Yahweh said, those that disobeyed me, He said they will be those that the righteous feet will tread on in the book of Isaiah 66, verse 23. Go read that verse. If you don't want to keep it in Yahweh's time, if you don't want to do it now, you ain't going to do it then. Notice now, it's recorded that even the death of Aaron, Moses' brother, the spokesman, is recorded as occurring on the beginning of the month. Aaron died when he was 123 years old on the first day of the fifth month. The death of Aaron ended the line of priests that came out of Egypt. He was the last one. He was chosen there, and he was the last one. Israel completed their mourning for Aaron on the first day of the next month. Exactly, 30 days. When he died on the first day of the new moon, they mourned for him exactly 30 days on the first day of the next moon. They begin their journey into the promised land with a new high priest. It commemorated the death of the old priesthood and the beginning of the new one. It's very significant that you catch that. It happened on the new moon. The day that Aaron died was on a new moon. They mourned for 30 days, and then they appointed on the next new moon the priest to take his place. And of course, you all know who he was and what his name was. Now, on the first day of the 11th month, we know that Yahweh reiterated His covenant. And so then, you need a renewal of the covenant. Hezekiah commissioned the cleansing of the temple on the first day of the first sacred month. Hezekiah. Now they begin on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day, oh my God, there it goes. On the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the of Yahweh, and they sanctified the house of Yahweh in 8 days. At begin, now what day did they begin? They began on the first day of the month. Now after that, what would you do? You'd work 6 days, and then you'd keep a Sabbath. The Sabbath was on the eighth day. Right here it is, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17. I don't know how much plainer this could be. Can you do the math? Can you count? Does it really bother you? Are you at all concerned that you may be on the wrong day? Is it that you might miss the function of the new moon and the significance of it? You're going to hear it blowed again and again. That's why I blow it every time we come on the radio. You know why? To remind you that the sacredness and the sanctifying of your body, your mind, and your soul still operates on the elements of nature. Yahweh hung them in the heavens for signs and for seasons and for appointment. They'll never be took down, although man has done all that and run off with them. Now notice this. Cyrus, he was the king of Persia. And when he commissioned the Israelites to go back and build a temple in Jerusalem, after their arrival, they began to offer sacrifices to Yahweh beginning on the first day of the seventh month. That's the tabernacle. It was yesterday. Going back in time, ladies and gentlemen, with the, don't lie, these are measured times. Man-made stuff is in error. You think that it's ever repeated Saturday, that it's the seventh day. It's not. Just because the Gregorian says Saturday is the seventh day, they have hoodwinked you. There was a renewal time by the month. Notice, now they begin on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month, now it's very simple, count back on Ezekiel's calendar in 46, 1 and 2, and you've got the plan. It's the eighth day that's the Sabbath. The first day of the month is a day recognized as the blowing of the trumpets or for charity work or for rearing up the tabernacle or for special occasions that Yahweh would honor somebody that's born on the new month. Very significant. Now, Ezra departed. He's the one that went to build or to restore. He departed from Babylon on the first day of the first month, carrying with him the decree to free his people from Babylonian captivity. If you want to get free from Babylon, get into the new moon worship. I can't make it no plainer than that. Ladies and gentlemen, on the first day of the tenth month, Ezra, now read the 10th chapter of Ezra, the 11th and the 12th, read that. On the first day of the 10th month, Ezra and other priests began their deliberation to solve the problem concerning the Israelites who had married foreign wives. We need to get into that problem right now. Somebody with a backbone needs to preach on that and to stand up and declare that on the first day of the 10th month, they got together to form a committee to separate themselves from the strangers. That's the book of Ezra. Again, chapter 7, verses 8 through 9. Notice this. After the temple in Jerusalem was dedicated, Ezra read to the people from the book of the law on the first day of the seventh month. Again, that's the month of tabernacles, or the festival of trumpets. This was the first time this had been done since the Israelites had returned from their captivity in Babylon, according to Nehemiah 8, 1 through 3, on the first day of the month. Other priests began to deliberate to solve the problem concerning their foreign wives, and they put them away. Hezekiah, the one that was added 15 years to his life, issued the command to repair the temple and establish the worship. Notice it was on. The repairs begin on the first day of the first month in 2 Chronicles 29, 3 and verse 17. Now, it's interesting that it took 8 days again to clean the temple area up to the porch of the temple and another 8 days to complete the repair. Now, what that was is exactly counting from the new moon to the Sabbath, and from the Sabbath to the next Sabbath, which is again like the count that when they buried Aaron, and they mourned for him 30 days, and then on the second new moon, they appointed a priest to take his place. It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. This prophetic offering of time count has an 8-day significant count, beginning with the count. Now, I've got my time's coming on. I've got to get off here. And tonight, I would like to remind you that the new moon still has these examples to show you. And if you want to come into the time of the appointments, keep the new moon. Let it be a time of your rejoicing and blowing the shofar and doing some charity work around Yahweh's house. Maybe when we're at the King's Gate Inn, maybe every new moon you could come down and celebrate it with us and do some charity work that day. And tonight, at night we'd go on the altar and we'd celebrate. Praise Yahweh. So maybe you want to do that. Consider that. We might make that for the next few years a standard issue. If you can get there, we don't want to have you running up and down the road and spending all your money and taking from your family. You're supposed to set aside. But if you're here where you can get close to us on the New Moon Festival, you might want to consider that. Every new moon we blow the shofar and we rejoice. Well, my time coming and leaving here so quick tonight, again, I'd like to remind you that the festival will start this month on the 21st. We invite you to be there. Come to an old-fashioned homecoming. This is homecoming. You're coming home to Yahweh's place. You're coming home for Yahweh to bless you and to meet with you in the holy place. Praise Yahweh. It's so wonderful to call it a homecoming. It really is what it is. My heart rejoices to see the Israelites, their bright, red, rosy-cheeked Israelites coming and praising Yahweh and showing up, just showing up and being brothers to remind Yahweh that we're still remembering Him on His chosen dates. It's wonderful. It's joy unspeakable, and it's all full of glory. We're going to have a great time at the King's Gate Inn down in Sweetwater, Tennessee. If you need directions, call me tonight after the program. It's early. Call me and I'll give you the directions on how to get there. It's very simple. Praise Yahweh. It's real close and convenient. Like I say, if you want to bring your tent, bring your sleeping bag, look at the stars. The stars at night, they shine so bright. Deep in the heart of the Smokies. That's where you're going to be. Right in the... Actually, it's the western side of the slope of the Smokies. You'll see the beautiful leaves. It's a beautiful time. You'll meet beautiful people. You'll meet loving people, kind people. People that can't do enough work for you to please you and to entreat you and to worship with you. And of course, the sons and daughters of Issachar, who are the sign keepers and the timekeepers. When we all get together, we are sons of laughter. We just shout it out, and we'll say, yes, Yahweh, we'll ride with you. I'll see you Monday night around the world on the next meeting that we're going to have on WWRB. That's on the 11th. That's on Monday. We'll see you then. Then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, the 13th of that month, we will be taking possession. The note burning will be in a commemorable service. We are going to put all the tithing envelopes that I've received, and we're going to have a bonfire. We're going to burn them in recognition. We're going to toast. We're going to raise the cup in remembrance of the King. We're going to celebrate tabernacles. We're going to have a great time. We hope that you can come and share with us on this homecoming here at the King's Gate Inn in Sweetwater, Tennessee. I'll see you Monday night. Yahweh bless you, and I love you. Will you ride? Will you ride?